Hey everyone, it's Brandon from Free Indeed Radio. Hey, we have a really special episode for you today because we got to interview Becca Hansen. She's the founder and director of Full Circle Outreach. It's this really awesome ministry here in Redmond, Oregon, and it serves anyone and everyone who is in need, from the homeless to the jobless, to kids who just need a place to go to be loved, to addicts who really need somebody to love them, just like anything you can think of. She's somebody who literally just radiates the love of Jesus, and it's awesome to get to be around her, and she was gracious enough to let us interview her right in the building. We were really particularly touched by her heart and her story, and we thought it needed to be told, and you needed to hear it, so here it is. You're listening to Free Indeed Radio, the podcast from Free Indeed Ministries.
Today on Free Indeed Radio.
You know, God gives us the opportunity to take what's been horrific and give it back to the Father and make it beautiful.
And now, here are your hosts, Brandon and John.
Welcome back to Free Indeed Radio. My name's Brandon.
And I'm John.
And we're here with Becca Hansen, and we're going to talk about some stuff.
We're going to talk about some really cool stuff. And Becca's going to tell us about her ministry. We're going to talk about a problem that exists, and as we talk about the underbelly of society with human trafficking, especially as it involves kids.
Right.
And as we talk about and have talked about with Free Indeed, we see a lot of still rejection because of people not understanding what their kids are going through or what young people especially are going through as they are navigating terrain of same-sex attraction. And
not just that, but just life.
And life too, right. But for Free Indeed's perspective, that's what we see. But we also want to be aware of what's going on and why. It's really, I guess, Brandon, more what you're saying is...
We're covering this as an exposition of what is going on in Redmond.
Yeah. And what identity kids have and what it does to them. And Becca, you've got a lot of firsthand knowledge about that to help us and to help the audience understand what's going on and what to look for and that it is going on in their community.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about yourself and about Full Circle Ministry, what you do here. Okay. And
we'll story go time, there. Go.
Yay.
No pressure. So, Full Circle Outreach, we serve over 4,000 people a year here within the facility. We have no criteria, so everybody and anybody walks in the door. So we have a Wednesday walk-in clinic where everybody is just free to come in the door. All agencies, anybody going through anything can come in the door, get resources, get supplies from the warehouse, as well as we have an employment program, a job support program.
Okay.
So all throughout the week, we serve doing one-on-one with folks that are maybe sent to us through the state or domestic violence units or victims assistance, court-supported need. So at Full Circle, we see all kinds of situations, and we get a real glimpse of what's going on in our area.
Mm-hmm.
So we see it pretty much firsthand, very much, yeah.
So what do you see on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah.
To paint a
picture. I'm sure it varies. Right. You know, it's not just, well, this is what I see. No. And
it changes every day. That's why we have to rely on the Father, because mm-hmm. without his guidance, his discernment, we wouldn't be able to even understand a day here because it's pretty mm-hmm. crazy. It'll start with the line out the door, especially during our Wednesday walk-in clinic. Mm-hmm. And we'll see over 100 people on that day. And it's from anywhere from someone struggling in homelessness to maybe someone that's triggering, you know, with drugs, trying to get into rehabilitation or detoxing, or maybe someone who doesn't want to get clean, who shows up with a group of kids or neighbors and they just need help,
mm-hmm.
To maybe someone coming out of domestic violence or victims assistance has sent us some support or some people that need support, rather. It's so broad.
Now, the kind of assistance you give, is it I mean, obviously you and your team have a wonderful heart because we've seen that in action. And it's so beautiful. But what are the other kind of assistance would somebody be expecting if I came in and I was a 18-year-old kid and I'd been thrown out of my house and I don't know what to do?
Right.
What would you say to that young person that came here?
Well, one of the main things that we first initially work with is resourcing. Because when you're in crisis, it's so ridiculously, ridiculously difficult to keep up with the roadmap of resources that you have to collect for yourself in order to get from plan A to plan Z, right?
Right.
So people come in, and let's use your example, the 18-year-old. We first have to sit down and really get dirty, you know, in a very loving way and understand where they're at, what they need. Because people will come in here for one thing, but they need like 10 things.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Ultimately, they need to know our Father.
Right.
And so literally the supplies and the resources are just a very firm way of opening the door to solution to where they can see God's love. And so we will resource really heavy, like maybe the LOFT program at Cascade Youth and Family, you know, a program of some kind that we can connect. Because people that are coming in here during crisis, and especially like, again, your example of the 18-year-old, I mean, we're kind of creating a story, so it would be hard to know the person, right?
Right.
And make it up. But with that type of a specific crisis and that age group, you don't trust people. You've already been to probably a couple other different places. You've gotten already 10 different answers.
Mm-hmm.
So we literally get involved as God allows. And we do that from a very raw, real standpoint. And it takes not just one time. It's over and over. It's a relationship that we have to build in order to gain that trust, right?
Right. I remember you were talking about how, you know, kids who come in who are like estranged or runaways or, you know, or abused in their home, like you have to keep an eye on them. And they'll come back, but if they feel like they're getting too close, like they have something to lose, they're just out the door.
Yeah, it's just like a cobra, you know, in a basket, and you let him out, he's going to come at you. And so, you know, kids that have been through who knows what, things that no one wants to talk about kind of stuff, you know, they've been in that basket for long. So when they come to a state of being on their own and being able to even walk into a facility of any kind to ask questions, they're already going to have their shackles up.
So the things that they don't want to talk about, can you share with us that rawness and where you bring such grace and love that we feel every time we come here?
Thank you.
Describe that so that it comes through so the audience can feel who you are and tell them the truth of what you see and hear and know.
Well, first of all, we're on the radio, so we have to paint kind of that picture. When you walk into Full Circle, it's a very humble establishment, to say the least, right?
Oh, it's wonderful.
But it caters to children, mostly. Mm-hmm. When you first walk in the door,
it looks kind of like a daycare.
It does look like a daycare.
It does. Yeah.
Everybody gets the stuffed animal. It's a distraction for specifically kids that are in crisis, because the parents, people, whoever, tend to walk in and just kind of shout out situations that kids really shouldn't hear.
Mm.
You know, or it's just the energy in general that comes in the door. And so it's easy just to, you know, ignore the kids and they get kind of lost in that feeling. So, you know, it is very catered in a warm manner. It's bright yellow, you know, and we have stuffies everywhere. When the youth, and that's specifically what you've asked about, what we're talking about this moment, when they come in the door, one, we've had a lot of years and a lot of training from the Father, you know, through a lot of mistakes, as well as, you know, we've spent a lot of time working with agencies and officials that have really helped train our staff well. So we identify things pretty quickly. So we make a friend, you know, we meet people where they're at. And so we might have a youth that walks in the door that reeks of marijuana, you know, but we notice there's a backpack and they're dirty and they're hungry and their eyes are shifting or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or it could be a young girl that comes in the door And we always make sure to send somebody outside and kind of look out the back door to see if there's somebody waiting for her. Mm-hmm. Because that's happened before. They don't, the people that are kind of training her, you know.
What would they, what would these people be? Just give the audience a description of who is that person. Is it not their mom waiting out in the car smoking a cigarette?
No.
What is
sadly, it is in families, though, too.
But tell them the reality of what goes on with this child, if you can. I know it's hard.
It's hard stories, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't, you know, at Full Circle, we spend so much time just quietly serving, as we say. You know, we're not real public people. And there's 30 of us, you know. There's a strong group here.
Yeah.
But, so it is hard, sorry. So, but I'm thinking about your question. We've had kids
that
come.
Like a pimp?
It would be. It would be.
Okay.
I mean, we can't sugarcoat it, I guess, right?
Yeah, just
so
a
it's
little.
Hard to crawl back out of that, sorry.
Yeah, no,
but,
it's all right.
You know.
You're talking to us, not to anybody else, so right. it's okay.
You know, a lot of the time you'll have people in that realm. I don't want to stereotype because it's always so different, but in my experience, the ones that do wait outside, they're always the harshest ones because they don't want to see and they don't want you to see them. So they send in their prepared victims to get the supplies they need because they themselves have so many issues, mostly drug-related. So they don't have anything themselves either.
Mm-hmm.
So they send their victims in to get what they need. And so it's just a very difficult dynamic when sometimes you actually walk outside and actually see who's sitting in the car. We have to be prepared to be very bold and walk out there and get to know who's in the car.
I imagine that's got to be horribly difficult.
It's ridiculously difficult. And but, you know, we don't do it to be a bully because even the worst of us needs to go to heaven. And, you know, I've met so many beautiful people that have come through the grossest, detestable circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I met a man one time, long time ago, who was actually a trafficker himself.
Wow.
And that man was significant to the body of Christ. And it was because someone loved him as God has first loved us. And it spoke so deep to him, and that person was willing to get dirty and get involved and be interrupted. And that tapping of his heart helped set the pace for him to change and then to become a defender of those that are trafficked. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, and we have to look at that dynamic, too. We have to look at everyone then, that
you
dynamic.
Know, I was actually reading something earlier. Like, it was an article, 5 Things I Learned from Being a Terrorist.
Oh, wow.
And it was in Britain with the really radical extremist groups who were, you know, against the crown and parliament and all that.
Right.
And the final point that I saw was ex-terrorist or a reformed terrorist is the most powerful weapon against terrorism.
Amen.
And so, amen. Like...
significant.
Your story just now reminds me of a very, very good friend of mine who I still love and care about. He was on meth for years and years, and he, you know, just had the worst life. Like, this guy just had, you know, his parents were awful, and he, you know, by the time age 13 rolled around, he was making his living stealing cars in Redmond, driving them till they broke, and then, you know, out in BLM, setting them on fire, and then turning the metal in for money.
Right.
And that's how he made a living. And he was living with women who were, like, 20 years old and over, and he was into meth and all that for a long time.
Right.
And he eventually found himself in Portland, where he was on the streets just looking for girls who were runaways or whoever fit the particular criteria.
Yeah.
And he went into detail on how he would get them hooked on meth and then say, "Oh, well, you want more? Go in that room with those guys and you'll get so high, don't even worry about it." Mm-hmm. You would never see him again. They'd toss him his bag of money and his bag of dope and he'd be out the door.
Right.
But we were out. We were spending time together one night, but I got to know him because we worked together for a while. And he was telling me all this and how haunted he was. And, you know, he was just still so haunted. He had two daughters at the time, because all this was years ago by the time he and I had started hanging out. And I just, all the stuff he was telling me, all that I could think to say was, God has made you clean. Mm. The Lord has restored you. You are acceptable before him.
Right.
And he won't rain judgment down on you for what's happened, because you're forgiven. Because he'd come to accept Christ later on, but he was still tormented and haunted. Oh. And I led him down this path, you know, and he would just say, I love how you think. Because I say something like, my actions stink, and you say, but God has made me clean.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that just, it makes me think. And now, I keep up with him. And, you know, his life is completely sold out for Christ. He really finally broke in a prison cell.
Wow.
And it was just so awesome to see that from start to finish, from the time that I met him to, you know, in those two points on the timeline in his life where I am in it, in his life, I got to see the transformation, and I got to see difference be made.
Right.
You know, not very many people are necessarily privy to that.
Right.
And, you know, so the people who, you know, just like we were just saying, the people who are the deepest become the most powerful weapons.
Well, Paul himself was like that.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. What a great example.
Yeah.
And it is true.
The harsher the bondage.
It is true.
The greater the call.
Mm-hmm. And I know that's true for me. Mm-hmm. For what I've been through, the darkest places.
Yep.
And I'm sure that I know.
Me too.
That I feel the level of forgiveness.
Amen. Me too.
It's palpable. I know the level of grace that I live in because of what the level of darkness that I was trapped in.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know, somebody who smoked for years, they quit. They're the worst person to be around if you smoke, because they're going to be the biggest advocate for it. Put that out. So you meet these people out there and you find out who they are and try to bring them in and basically, you know, cut the head off so that the rest of it can die and hopefully they can live.
As God allows.
Break the chains.
And it's such a process, you know, and I get very impatient a lot. So I'm just like, why can't we just kill this demon now and let this person fly into, you know, God's freedom? But his process is so different than our own.
That's one thing that I noticed with my friend is we were friends for three and a half, almost 4 years before I actually saw the change in his life. And all that I did was be there.
Right.
All that I did was come to his house when he invited me.
Right.
Spend time with him. Offer to pray with him.
Right.
And just love him. Like, one thing that we come up against a lot is, well, unless you told him about how sinful he was and all this, when you preached the gospel, then he wasn't fully saved. Mm. And to that I say,
look in your own closet, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing, too, is it's, you know, every time I get, like we just talked about, impatient with the process, God always reminds me when I'm looking at my own mirror, you know, of how far I've come and how much further I have to go. You know, it's just, we can't be throwing those daggers out there. You know, it is for us to pray and for us to get involved with the pieces that you just talked about, the steps, you know, be there, love them, show up kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I'm sure you will relate to and do, but I know God has really burned in my heart heavy, is the power of intercessory prayer.
Mm.
Yeah. And so, I mean, to the point to where you get woke up in the middle of the night and you burn so deeply for people. And it's gut-wrenching. It's painful. And it's so beautiful. Because not always do we see the answer to the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not our business to see the answer to the prayer. We always want to see the outcome, right? It's like opening the present.
We need the gratification.
Yeah, right. And God's just like, no. That's my business. I called you to pray.
Mm.
You know, it's just kind of like the same thing of His grace is sufficient. We may not always get what we want, you know, and da, 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 da. It's just, no, His grace is sufficient.
And that's hard for me too, because I find it hard to be consistent with interceding for people.
Really?
It's
a discipline.
Yeah. And it's one that God's been working on in me. And it's funny that you were talking about this, because I was thinking about that this morning. Like, God, help me to not pray for myself so much. And I want to
pray His will more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, He already knows.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, and it's hard for me,
mm-hmm.
because I want, you know, I want to be, like you said, like burning to pray for somebody, but that doesn't really happen for me so much. I have to, like,
I'll be interceding for you. God burns you to the point of knee-dropping, powerful prayer in the middle of the night when you're so tired you don't want to get up.
Right.
Because that's when it happens.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we have people like that praying for us like that.
Right.
And it's been cool to hear, like, when weird things are going on with the ministry or in personal life, just how many people are like, what's going on? God has been, like, burning it in my head to come to, you know, to pray for you, like,
yeah,
been having dreams, like, what's going on? that's pretty crazy. So
it's pretty awesome.
I want that.
Go get it.
Mm-hmm.
Seek.
So I think that we should. Did you have something?
No, I'm going with wherever God says to go today. You're the leader.
So
I'm your guest.
So do you have any, like, experience prior to Full Circle,
mm-hmm.
with we'll just go right into it, just like the actual human trafficking
ordeal. I do. You always go ahead, make it tough. You guys said you would be nice to me.
We're smiling as we're asking, so it doesn't that make smiling. It easy.
Yeah, part of what has burned me to start Full Circle, I guess, because, you know, we're all called, right? Every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was born as I was born. God made me before I was ever in my mama's womb, you know, so He knew me, knitted me there. So, you know, He made me who I am from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
But God has definitely allowed really tough circumstances from my past to, you know, build heavy burns for what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I had one of my cousins that was actually abused by my uncle. You know, ended up contracting AIDS because he went into homosexuality and became a prostitute and contracted AIDS and was addicted to meth. And hung himself by the rafters and left my uncles to find him as a payback for the pain. So it's tough, you know, but the beauty of that is I know that my cousin knew the Father, and we've taken His story, right? And the impact He made on my life. Thank you. And now I can identify from a different perspective.
Yeah.
To those that are in front of me every day. And so it's not in vain. The enemy did not win.
No.
And so that has created a very big burn in my life from childhood to now, when with, you know, at my age, finally my voice is getting louder about these topics after always wanting to be silent about them because they hurt.
Sure.
It's definitely promoted my voice for God and for those that have been through so much pain that is unnecessary because of an evil demon called flesh and lust and perversion and bondage, ultimately sin.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, God gives us the opportunity to take what's been horrific and give it back to the Father and make it beautiful. The reality, though, many times is that we get quiet for too long. And in that time of quietness, millions of others are being hurt.
Right.
Right. And so I've learned that a little more lately. You know, it's time to speak up, speak a little louder, like, you know, take an opportunity to visit with you guys aloud on a radio show with someone who's been very private and quiet and just serves one person at a time, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's for people like my cousin that I don't want to see happen again.
Mm-hmm.
As to why we yell now.
That's right.
And as to why we ferociously do serve in places that you don't see. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So true. Right. And I appreciate you telling us that truth. It's hard to hear, especially with what I've lived through and seen that death as well.
Right.
The desperation of the heart, the lack of identity.
Right.
In the world at all.
Right.
And what we've done and what you were immediately open to Free Indeed and you welcomed us. And
I love you guys.
We had no idea why.
Hmm.
I just remember telling Brandon, you've got to meet this woman.
Oh, and I'm humbled by that big time. Thank
but
you.
But the grace of God is so incredibly powerful. Mm-hmm. And I really,
amen.
We spend so much time telling the church people, right. especially, you've got to get a hold of this message because it
right.
will change the world.
Right.
It will change lives. And to be able to hear this story, people need to understand that it's real and it's going on now.
It's going on within our church. The piece that I didn't even say is that both of them were actually ordained pastors.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there it
is. That is huge.
And the one had a church within his home to where he didn't have to pay taxes. And the pornography ring was in the home.
Wow.
In the basement.
But if we don't ask the questions, if people don't get out of their mindsets that rejection is the way to handle people
right.
that you don't like,
right?
Then those kinds of things can continue.
No joke.
It's very easy to propagate that kind of a system when you know that the people who are going to come and listen to you agree with what you say.
Right.
Because you can keep them right at that point of control.
Right.
And they never see the darkness of what you're doing. The two faces of right. evil are there. And it's very easy to do that. But when grace breaks through and all of a sudden you're seeing every person for who they are and your system, like full circle here,
right.
becomes an outreach to everyone. That
right.
it doesn't matter who's standing in, what is standing in front of you, it's who.
Right.
That's when things begin to change. And you've certainly changed the world around you.
Well, we're all broken people, you know, and if we just learn how to get our eyes off of each other, you know, and really just get them on God and just remember that we're on the front lines. And well, what that means, I mean, mm-hmm. it's just, you know, We all forget that, don't we?
Well, what fascinates me is that people are so ignorant.
Most definitely.
People are so ignorant of what is going on in their own body, and they're so comfortable. We're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of being content to not know, to not get our hands dirty, to not care.
Yeah, you know, I really want to burn down every white picket fence, for real, you know, because seriously, there's so much comfort in that. That is not, I don't believe, God's plan. You know, the number one goal for those that have, you know, received Christ, that claim him as our own, is to literally fill up heaven and see hell vacant.
Mm-hmm.
And we get so clogged in the white fence, you know, the white picket fence. Mm-hmm. We get so comfortable in it. And I don't think necessarily as it's always so ignorant. I think it's a choice to turn away and not open
right,
our eyes.
Right, a willful ignorance.
Right, because, you know, it happens obviously. I mean, I gave you a very hard example. It happens within the church every day, every day. You know, it's literally around the corner. When we were first building the biggest outreach center that we, you know, the very first one that was bigger wasn't the one that was in the back of our office or,
right.
You know, it was one that actually had extra rooms and, you know, an intake room and supplies and stuff. We were in the middle of refurbishing it. So we were just putting paint on the wall. We hadn't even moved in. We had a little boy that was 4 years old, almost five, that lived kitty corner from the facility. We have pictures of him that we keep just to pray all the time. We don't know where he is now. So this was many years ago. But he would come and walk across the street because we always ate together. We'd bring food in for everybody every day. And he would walk in there without a parent. We'd be like, "Where's your mama?" We didn't even know where he lived. You know, so we were like, "Oh, he lives over here across the street, kind of kitty corner, blah, blah, blah." And, you know, we contact the right people and made sure he was safe. Come to find out he was not. So he was literally across the street from us building an outreach center. And this little boy had been molested. This little boy was living in a basement with a mom's boyfriend that was hurting him. And we definitely, I mean, I'm giving you a very long story short, but we did contact the right people and got him help. Again, I don't know where he is now because in the system you kind of lose people, right? Sure. But the reality of that example is it was right in front of us.
Mm.
When God called us to
step
out, yes, most definitely in Redmond. Mm. It's actually just a few blocks away from right where we are at this moment.
Mm.
Wow.
But when God first called us to start Full Circle, my sons and I was like, I had dreams of going overseas and doing all the awesome stuff that God allows us to do now.
Mm-hmm.
But what he really emphasized in my heart was that it's literally next door. And all I did was look next door to the business that we had at that moment. And it was my neighbors that we first fed that started Full Circle.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It was a movement of just bringing bread. And there were people and kids in so much pain. And a lot of people will say, "Yeah, that's not pain. You know, go downtown Portland and you'll see it over here. Or, you know, go, you know, to Haiti and you'll see it there in bulk." I understand those point of references. Mm-hmm. I've experienced them through working years and years now in ministry on the streets and overseas.
Mm.
But if you were to take the one child that lives around the corner here in Redmond and bring him into a room and say, "That's been hurt," then say to him, "How important is this to you today? How much pain are you in?" That child's life replicates a third world district because that pain is that painful.
Mm.
And so it matters to literally find the mission field beneath your feet and to open your eyes and see what's going on next door.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We were talking yesterday, if I shift gears on you, but it prompted my mind. So we were visiting about the byways, you know, and human trafficking and the things that you asked me to kind of talk about today. I mean, it's a $47 billion industry a year within our reach.
$47 billion
billion a year. And Portland is the number one port in the United States for human trafficking. Seattle's the second. That's in our backyard. We have Mexico south and Canada north. We're on the byway.
Really on
literally on the byway, yes, for trafficking. And what happens in towns as beautiful and sweet as ours is we forget, though, that there's really a lot of stuff behind closed doors that we don't see. Hidden rural poverty is not a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's a significant, significant problem because it isn't on every single corner. You know, it's the children that are in homelessness because we have one shelter in Central Oregon for families. And they're on borrowed couches in places that they shouldn't be in, with parents that can't pay rent, with groups of people that are unhealthy. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just, it's crazy what happens here that we don't see. And then here we have this byway of traffickers that are making their way through that look at the rural settings now more than ever. Because realistically, it's easier to pluck from here, meaning people, children.
Because
we don't pay attention enough. Because we're leisure here. You know, it's not like you're downtown in the Bronx or whatever, you know. And so you're like, okay, don't walk that way. There's going to be a gang around the corner. Here, it's just go and do what you want. Walk as you want. Wear what you want. Just, you're okay. It's just little town Redmond. It happens here. And, you know, it baffles me that people just think that that's a good conversation to have over coffee. You know, yes. It baffles me that it's just, oh, the numbers must be small because we don't even hear about it on the news.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're so ridiculously inundated with our own cover-up story that we refuse to literally open our eyes and see what happens here. I get it in my face every day. I have no option. But to know what's happening. I don't get the choice to forget.
Mm-hmm.
I used to wish I could. I pray now thankfulness for that. Because literally, there has to be a larger voice, a larger movement. Because it's in bulk here, even though it might be not as significant in numbers, if you will, as Portland or Seattle. Do you know?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And it's... Again, back to that one little boy that was across the street from our first big center. It baffles me because the one little girl that walks in my door on a Wednesday that has just been raped, that has just been passed around because she's homeless, and now she's addicted to drugs, and so she's got to get it somehow. Her life counts. It's not okay. It's significantly not okay. And we have over 5,000 homeless people within Central Oregon. Okay, that's a rough estimate. And I just go, how many churches do we have in this area? How many churches are in Central Oregon? Why do we have any homeless? Why do we not have a shelter for homeless youth? We don't have one.
No.
You know, it's significantly embarrassing and shameful to even think that we're going to go meet our God, all of us living from this little beautiful town, and think we've done enough. This is his town. He owns it. We're his kids.
Mm-hmm.
We have to open our eyes at some point and know that we have to do something, not just make it a conversation or pretend like it's not big enough here.
Right.
Do you know?
Yeah, definitely. And especially, like, I understand that because, you know, with our message for the same-sex attracted community,
right,
specifically for them, you know, we go to churches with that message of grace,
mm-hmm,
and we get told to be sent to the out, you know, we'll show you what the other side of the door looks like. And so we understand the inundated with, you know, their own passivity.
Mm.
And it is, it's gross. I mean, you were just telling us yesterday that, like, and I went and I thought about it. Our parks?
Yeah.
There's like, what, like seven or eight parks here in Redmond alone. And none of them have any kind of security measures. There's no fences. There's no nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what were you telling me about the guy with the van,
mm-hmm,
who was doing laps around, mm-hmm, the park, and nobody was paying attention at all.
Yeah.
Nobody seemed even remotely alarmed besides you, who was seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's those measures that aren't taken,
right,
that make the biggest impact.
And it's not the officials' jobs, even though...
No, okay, it's our job.
And it's not the outreach's jobs. It's the body of Christ's job.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we do not take that serious, being the body, the representative, so to speak, the very broken, flawed, ridiculously messy variations, you know, of replicant of our Father, if we do not be the ones that rescue,
mm-hmm,
and scream loudly for those that don't have a voice,
mm-hmm,
how are they going to know him?
Mm-hmm.
I'm ridiculously burdened that it's those typically that don't have our Father known to them yet that are the ones out there, you know, making the signs and hitting the media waves and, you know, the ones that are out there picketing for things. It's like, where's the body? I'm included in that. I'm not throwing a stone,
mm-hmm,
at all. Because even with the movement we have here that God's given, I every day wake to it's not enough. Every day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's baffling to me that, like you said, that there isn't more, I guess, action taken or structure set up. But it's like, you know, people are like, well, I'm going to also have a plan. I'm going to have a meeting and I have this to do. And this might be my
coffee and meetings about
it's,
to talk
it's
about.
Like,
to,
let's know. Just let's just stop that and let's just throw down.
Mm-hmm.
Full Circle doesn't even live off of one grant. It's done out of about 10 people and a handful of our beloved churches that literally support this place and keep the door open. And I'll tell you, if we never had this building, we would still be on the street. You know, it's not about a budget, a building, a plan. It's just we have the Word of God, the knowledge within us. We understand that He's getting ready to come back. So the enemy is at his best game right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So we need to get out there and literally expose the darkness by sending out God's light, which is His Word and His people,
mm-hmm,
and start rescuing those that aren't just being trafficked, but that are the traffickers.
Right.
You know, see, now you get me on my soapbox, right?
Please do. Mm-hmm.
It's like when I was in India, just a few years ago, I went and, you know, was with a bunch of our girls there that God just given us, you know, this great gift to go and be a part of through Good News India. My brother in Christ, he's the founder, Dr. Raman. Amazing, amazing, beautiful people. Very humble. But here's this home, this school for girls, And I'm just so excited to just hold these babies, all these girls and teenagers, and they all come from areas where it's heavily trafficked because they look Asian, and that's, you know, a pretty good commodity to those in that lustful, sinful, detestable world. And I'm listening to the people that are the directors of that specific mission, of that specific orphanage. And it has burned in my head so clearly. They said to me, it's good that we've rescued these girls. It's good that God has brought them here, that, you know, he's given us the ability to do this and blah, blah, blah. I don't mean to minimize it. It's not small.
Well, I know what you mean.
And they said, but what's missing is the boys' home, because it's our men that lead this ridiculous, detestable movement of pornography, lust, and rape, and blah, blah. So we have to change the men. So if we had a home for boys, we could raise these boys up to be beautiful, godly men. Mm-hmm. That would help change the dynamic of the men that don't have God.
That's right.
You know, all that to say, again, you know, what are the statistics? We were just talking about it yesterday. The last one I heard, and I'm not a statistic person.
Mm-hmm.
I like to just focus on what's in front of me, because that's a lot.
Sure.
But the statistics in the United States right now, I guess, are like one out of every six boys is abused sexually, and one out of four girls is abused sexually. I mean, there is this lustful, disgusting sexual corruption has no gender specific, none.
Right.
But we have to, I mean, we have to reach everyone.
And you know what? I saw this campaign. I can't remember what it's called. There's actually lots of campaigns that are rising up to
praise God.
To show people the ugly underside of what lust does, because this isn't the trafficking, porn, you know, gay stuff. It's all under the same umbrella.
Yeah.
And that's lust.
Yep.
And so, like, what is the cause of lust? And that is a vacuum in us. And like you were talking about yesterday, that demon is insatiable.
You have to feed it. That's why it gets bigger. They feast. It's never, ever, ever full. Ever. Mm-hmm. So any kind of sin of any kind, not just lust, you know, drugs, you know, anything.
Yeah.
It's all bondage. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against the principalities. Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, seriously, I mean, it's a feasting agent that is not of God that has to be fed. That's why it just gets so repulsively into every angle, and no one is the exception, right?
I would agree. And I think, too, as I'm listening to you share and seeing how, like Brandon described, how we've been received. We wake up with the same sense of it's not enough.
Yeah.
We're not doing enough. And sometimes that burden gets really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, you know, the Lord's there to say, I'm carrying the burden.
Yes.
You just walk. I'll carry the burden.
Specifically you more than I. I haven't woke up feeling that way. And I'm guilty of that.
He's, and it shows you that.
You will the more you see. The more you get your hands dirty, if you will, you will see.
And that seems to be the real issue, is that everybody's so comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So they're so comfortable and they don't want to get their hands dirty. They don't even want to.
We get heated up in conversation over coffees and you know, even church activities and stuff, and then we still go home and clock out.
Right. And I'm guilty of that, too. Like
we all are.
We'll see something going on, and instead of just saying yes, I'll say, is that really you, God? Is that really you telling me to go, you know, be a big brother to the kid next door?
If you read Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46, and you actually take it to heart so seriously, you will know that you know that you know that every one of God's children is called to love and serve the least of these.
Yes. And I think, too, just so that it's clear,
mm-hmm.
you can't, nobody can do all things at all times. And we're not saying that.
No.
And the clocking out, you have to do. We have to. You have to. There yeah. has to be a break.
Sure.
But we never let go.
Right.
But what I think we're looking for and what we've talked about here
mm-hmm.
is that when somebody sees it or when somebody has the opportunity to hear what we're talking about, what mm-hmm. you're talking about, that's their moment of truth, if you will, with the Lord. It's their opportunity to decide that they're going to participate in some way.
Right.
Even if it's just learning about the topic, even if it's just understanding what's going on around them, such as we want to do with equipping the saints, we mm-hmm. want them to know so that they don't have to listen to the bully of the media. They won't feel like their voice is being minimized once they've found out the truth of who they are
mm-hmm.
and where things come from and how they've propagated
right.
The whole bit. But it's when people don't even want to get to that point.
Right.
I think that's what we really have focused a lot on
mm-hmm.
is people saying, well, that's just not for me. That's just something that
I'm not called. I'm not there. Gifted like that.
Yeah. yeah.
It's always categorized.
Or it's their problem. Yeah, there's always the...
I'm gifted over here. I'm just the one that does this. It's like,
yeah.
wow, that's such a limiting way of, you know, I mean...
And then people are like, well, I don't feel like God is moving or speaking to me in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, dude, he just offered you.
I find my father's voice out on the street. I find him out there. I find him when I'm holding a child that yeah. got hurt. That's when I literally feel church.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. And that's when I connect on such an intimate level with God, because I in myself can't handle that, quite frankly, especially in the bulk that I've seen in my lifetime, you know?
Sure.
And so I encourage people, I plead with people to get out of that white picket fence and literally just surrender it and just go embrace those around you that need you.
Mm.
You know, it takes so much time for change. It takes so much time. It's true that we can only fix ourselves, but that does not make us exempt from being a participant in the lives of our brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because that's what God called us to do.
Absolutely. And learning, again,
it
could be something so simple as saying, yes, will you come and teach us what we need to know so we don't have fear. The Bible says not to fear.
Right.
Give us the reason. Give us the how.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the hope, the help, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, we Brandon and I have been so blessed that we've met a few, just a couple of three pastors that are that close. And people
awesome.
Like yourself, Becca.
Thank you.
That operate in the world of grace, that know that the only way grace is there is if we reach out with it. And
yeah.
people feel it, and then it absorbs them. And then the love of Christ takes over.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's not about what they're doing that's wrong, in our opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what God wants to do with them in his opinion.
Right.
And that's what we're called to do. So
even if it's as simple as something like what you were talking about yesterday, just mm-hmm. being willing and being loving enough to walk up to somebody who is dressed kind of inappropriately and be like, sister, I love you. But that 50-year-old dude over there is checking you out.
Right.
cover it up. You know, just even taking the time to care about somebody in that way, to get them to respect themselves and to respect human life and to understand, get somebody to understand God as their father
mm-hmm.
and how much he cares and values us. I think that's like the underlying issue, at least from my understanding, is that people, one, are not taught
right,
how much God loves them.
You have to get involved. The body has to get involved even more.
Well,
you
even
know,
the body right now, the body isn't taught how much God loves them.
No, we have.
So many people are so, they're so just grasping in the dark at straws.
Right.
They think that God doesn't like them.
Right.
They think that God doesn't really care about the small stuff, so don't ask.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, and just, well, you have cancer, deal with it, because God only heals special people. You know, they're not taught the, literally the abundance, Romans 5:17, you know, those who accept God's abundance of grace and his righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Free gift.
How much more will he, you know, pour over them, and you know, how much more life will they walk in?
Mm-hmm.
The church right now is just so obsessed with making sure that the sinful are aware of how sinful they are,
mm-hmm.
and that the righteous are aware of how quote-unquote righteous they are.
Amen.
You know, one time I was reminded of something like that. It's a good example, mm-hmm. kind of to validate what you said. Is I had one time a client that came in the door, guest is what a lot of our staff, you know, refers to, you know, all the folks that get to come in. And this lady walked in, and I was just like, oh, Lord, are you kidding me? Do I have to serve these people? I mean, it's obvious they're on meth. It's just like, I just want to take their kids and run out the door and just say, you get better and come back and get them later, you know?
Yeah.
And just so much of that stuff was there. And man, did the Father rebuke me. Oh boy. To make a very long story short, I'm glad for his correction.
Yeah.
But I invited them in, and it was actually a husband and a wife and two children, and they were very clearly not clean and sober. These kids were just filthy and in pain and just not good. And I was so agitated, but God just called me to get down lower. And so I literally got on my feet or on my knees on the ground, and they sat in the chair. So I'm looking up at them, right? I felt such a wave of our God showing me that he loved me the same as he loved them. And I immediately was just rebuked and humbled.
Yeah.
And I was like, I am no more better or whatever than a man in the moon. My Father loves us all. We are all his children, all of us. I loved her so much immediately from that standpoint, you know? So I got out of my self-righteousness very quickly, praise God.
Yeah.
And served them, loved them, and prayed over them, and he was looking for work. And, you know, the thing was, it was a beautiful, beautiful time, even though it was just horrifically hard.
Mm-hmm.
And out the door they went after we loved on those babies. They come back a few weeks later, and they were like, I didn't recognize them.
Mm.
And I was just kind of walking through the outreach. I was like, doo, doo, doo. And they were like, Becca, these people want to talk to you. And I was like, okay. And then they said, you don't remember us? And because they looked different. God had touched their lives so much just from that stance of humility and love. And getting out of my who I think I am and who they are kind of stance.
Right.
And I'm so thankful that God just kicked that out of me. They said, we want to thank you so much. And they started crying. And they said, God blessed us with two jobs, not just one. And he wants to come to the sobriety class. And we've stopped. And, I mean, just this beautiful, beautiful
That's great.
Opportunity wow. unveiled. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it went on and on, you know, months later. So it was really cool. But it's like, we gotta remember that we're all loved the same by this amazing, omnipotent God. We're all his babies.
Mm.
You know,
Yeah.
And how shameful it is that Even people in our own body aren't taught that.
Right?
People in the body are not taught that God loves you
and
right now. And it's so furious and unrelenting and real.
Yep. And we're so much the biggest part of the problem, you know, within the body of myself speaking to myself. You know, because we play mm-hmm. such a vital role. We claim God as our own, as a representative of Christ, and women my own age are dressing more provocatively than
mm-hmm.
than someone who never knew God once that might even be on a corner looking for work, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring that into the church, and we don't teach modesty, and we're so afraid of those topics, and we're so afraid to get involved, you know.
To offend people and step on toes. Yeah,
all this stuff, it's like, it all does.
We know that.
Yeah. It plays with the whole ring of the bigger problem that we first mm-hmm. started to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even closer to home, you know, I've been involved with churches where, you know, being a kid in the youth group,
mm-hmm.
and I'm struggling with lust as it is,
mm-hmm.
and then these girls are coming in
right.
who are actively seeking Christ with their lives. Not even talking about kids who just came in, kids who actively seek Christ with their lives already.
Right.
And it was apparent to me. Who are wearing shorts that could double as underwear.
Sure.
And who are wearing, you know, shirts showing their cleavage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it is hard enough being who I am. Are you not instilled with the sense of self-respect from on high?
Right.
You know, and do your parents not receive love from God enough that they would pass it on to you and show you that you were loved in the same way that you wouldn't find it necessary to do that to yourself?
Right.
Like, what is the disconnect? What is the...
I think that one of the biggest words through all of the training I've received, you know, in specifically the human trafficking field, and I shouldn't say field, war zone.
War zone, yeah.
But is the biggest word that always comes to mind is desensitized.
Yes. Mm.
You know, and we have such a desensitized society in general, and it's really become so widespread, you know, just the acceptance overall of this is okay, and this is today, and this is, you know, our God, our omnipotent beginning, middle, and end God has never changed. He's an ancient God. It's those of us that have.
Right.
His word states the real impressed upon need to be modest, you know, mm-hmm. and the responsibility that we have over this vessel, that's his, that he created.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the word says he created us in his own image, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made and made in the image of our God. And we dress, even as leaders in church groups. And I don't say that as throwing a stone. I say it because I want it to change, because it hurts my heart, because we're raising up generations of children, girls and boys alike. There is no gender here. I'm just speaking it because I'm a woman, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
You know, but it's like, you know, it's those of us that have changed and become desensitized and passive and just say, oh, it's okay. This is our normal now.
Mm-hmm.
And you just look around and you just go, when did God change? When did God change? And most of the time, those of us that, you know, kind of have that split side, if you will, and again, I'm not throwing a stone. I know I'm broken. You know, I'm not perfect till I go home. I got a long road ahead of me. But it's like, you know, perversion and lust begins with the eye.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And how deep that goes is so grotesque if you were to experience it, that you would literally cover yourself up out of hurt and
shock and
shock and exactly of what really really happens from the hoochie mama dresses and you know the right. little tankies that show everything and you know it really does affect the bigger picture and people are silly to think that it does not.
And I don't think you're saying that people should be or especially women should be wrapped up in
Mm-mm.
12 layers of sheets to
no.
and blinded except
no,
for
it's
the
good
corneas,
though that we are beautiful you know and be beautiful.
But there
beautiful.
Is a modest way exactly. to express oneself
most
and, be,
definitely.
And be beautiful
most definitely.
So can you yeah. give an example of the depths of what happens on the other end of that?
Oh my goodness, I could give you examples that would make you vomit. You know, it's that repulsive. But you know, like I see in our area, because we're, you know, even though we're able to go on beautiful little rabbit trails and have a conversation that's so open, and thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
But within our little town, I mean, I see such an overall numbing acceptance to the way we dress, you know, here.
Mm-hmm.
And I see, again, from a woman's standpoint, I look mostly at, you know, the little girls because I'm a girl. You know, but I look at even like our own daughters and I just go, oh, my goodness, you know, don't dress like that. You know, you are a child of God. You are this loving, beautiful creation. And there really is those men and even sick women that are, you know, checking them out as they're going and getting their little Starbucks or whatever. You know, and what that does is they take that home, the sick, lustful desires of just a glance at a beautiful young girl that's dressing inappropriately, go home and they think about that and it turns into things that we don't even want to talk on air about.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And again, it's that feasting demon. And so I don't mean to get off track. It's baffling to me because I've seen just the most innocent get so attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't even know how to answer your question because
I think that's a really good picture that you painted. And if you take that now
mm-hmm.
and you put that in the pews.
Right.
That same girl.
Right.
That same man.
Right.
And let's say maybe 20 other men or women who had the same effect, had that effect in their mind. Now we have a church that's filled with a real problem.
Right.
Now we have a choice in God. Right. Do we hide it
right.
and pretend it doesn't exist? Or do we do what we're talking about, and that is expose the darkness to light?
Right.
Let it come out. I'm not saying that the guy should stand up and say, you know, and point at someone and say, this is what I thought of when I saw you and you know, cause this big issue. But the issue itself should be something that if someone came to, like, the pastors and said, I need help with this, or this right. is what's going on, then we need to be open to say, okay, we can help you.
Most
or
definitely.
Let's do something.
You expose the darkness
expose
for
it.
A reason.
Yeah, and then have a resource, though.
Well, and right. Jesus never exposes us
mm-hmm.
to hurt us.
Right.
Right.
He always exposes with the intent to heal.
Right.
And if someone's come forward, they're asking
mm-hmm.
for that. So we have mm-hmm. to see it that way. It's not that they've come forward to make you feel good because you're a really good counselor. That's not what it's about. They've come forward because they feel bad because they need help and hope.
Right.
That's what they've come for. And too often, and from what I see, this is my opinion, the church is so focused on itself and how good it looks
mm-hmm.
and how wonderful the counseling system is and how many numbers on the board that come mm-hmm. to a recovery program where no one's getting healthy. It's just sad to see because it's focused on them and the program and the
mm-hmm.
and the look, not the person.
Well, and what I see too is, like, even in, I'll go back to youth groups because that's my main
yeah.
realm. You know, kids will, you know, if they're talked talk to about it, just even from the pulpit or, mm-hmm. or whatever, or if they have ultra-conservative parents,
mm-hmm.
they'll wear what's appropriate, quote-unquote, appropriate for church.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll go home and do the same. You do the same thing that they would have done anyway.
Right.
It's a sense of performance, mm-hmm. and looking good. It's not a... You are worth so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, receiving the proper attention and, you know, understanding where these feelings and needs to expose ourselves and be this way come from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all just changing the behavior instead of changing the heart.
You know, a good example... on the topic of this with dress and stuff like that, everybody's like, so what do we do now? We just have to have dress codes in church or whatever. It's like, everybody's so afraid and has to go to such extremes. It's like, no, we just need the women, the ladies, to get involved with the girls and teach them a beautiful way, not in judgment.
Right.
But to spare mm-hmm. them, the older man or the young boy that has an issue with internet pornography, you know, to keep them from being that image that they respond to in an unhealthy way, right?
Right.
You know,
take care of your brother. Right. Yeah.
But it's like but again, that desensitized piece is like, you know, those white t-shirts, you know, or white tank tops are called wife beaters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those really super high heels are called hooker heels, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
If we really stopped, oops, sorry.
So much at the door.
The dogs are letting us know. If we really stopped, just hold her, will you? Thank you. If we really stopped, and if you actually, from my perspective, had actually talked and been a part of women that have been in that realm, and you understood what the word hooker really means and how awful that is, you would never label a shoe that your beautiful little daughter's going to wear a hooker heel. You wouldn't even want her to be a part of it.
Yeah.
You know, a wife beater coming from domestic violence myself.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to see is my son or any young man wearing a tank top referred to as a wife beater when you've been one that's been beat. So it's like, you know, to me, we got to think deeper with more meaning when it comes to those topics that we think are so silly and minimal and not worth getting involved with. They mean so much.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if you really understood the avenues of where those little minuscule things that we don't want to talk about or get involved with, or we just kind of sweep under the rug, mm-hmm. if we actually understood the level in which they travel to, you know, mm-hmm. which is those dark alleys called Vaseline Alley that mm-hmm. are disgusting in cities, you know, in Portland and behind a closed door here in Redmond. And, it, you know,
yeah.
I mean, that's where they travel to, mm-hmm. you know. And so it's like, gosh, we've got to become aware. We've got to wake up. And the silly thing is we have all this media exposure and all this technology, and right directly in front of us, we really do all know.
Mm-hmm. We do.
We can't plead ignorance because yeah.
we really can't. It's boiling down to a choice and a voice.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like we've been talking about too, we want to see people, you know, what we're saying is, if you have a problem, come with a solution.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a problem with the fact that the media is forcing, and like our thing, and the gay agenda down my throat, and I have no voice, and my Christianity is being compromised, if your Christianity is being compromised and you have no voice, then there's something wrong with you, not God.
Yeah.
And
there's something wrong with your Christianity. There's something wrong with your thinking.
Certainly something wrong with the way you believe. And if you don't have right believing, then nothing else works from there. And when God sends somebody who has the answers like you and who can be a resource, who can help you to understand what am I really seeing with my neighbor, it's as simple as that. it's as simple as getting to know your neighbor, like you said.
Right.
And
a lot of people will use the excuse, I used to at one time, before I got really serious about being obedient and what God asked me to do, is, you know, there's like, well, I can't do all that, you know, and I can only do this. It's like, really? You know, it just starts with one, and it really is your neighbor.
It really is.
It really is your child. It is really your child's friend that's always at your house because their parents are vacant from their own life. Do you not see it? Do you not see that? You know, open your eyes to it. Just to you know, it really is a little kid that, or the teenager that comes to youth group with no one because they're searching, that are the gothic that none of the kids, none of the church kids want to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, just, did she just?
The dog just drank out of John's water cup.
That's so nice.
It's so, I love it.
It's awesome.
And you know, one thing that, like, we used to talk about this a lot because we, when we started Free Indeed, we got a lot of people who were not involved with the lifestyle, but they wanted to know how they could make a difference in life.
Right.
These were people like the beautiful people that come here that say, I want to make a difference. Show me what that looks like, whatever that means for me. And we taught them, and we still teach and believe that you don't have to make a big change to the picture. You make a small change to the big picture instead of trying to change the whole thing. And if you just start blotting it out, one little blot at a time, before you know it, the whole picture is now whatever color you've re-blotted it.
And we don't want to make it about ourselves. Like that's people's biggest, it seems the biggest thing. Well, I'm just going to go do something. Don't just go do something. Ask God what you are going to be effective in, you know, like.
Well, a lot of people say that, though, too, though, Brennan, because here's the thing, though. It's just like people will say, well, you know, I need to sit and ask him what it is. And it's like I always say, just start somewhere.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, the word of God already says, it's not that you know, he needs to come out of the sky and prove anything to us. It's just his word is already written. It needs no highlight.
Yeah.
It says very clearly throughout the entire word, you know, Matthew 25 again, 31 through 46, just go feed them. I'm not even going to know who you are unless you have loved the least of these.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Period. Okay, so if I'm feeling like I need to do something more, do you know how many nonprofit brothers and sisters that I know in this whole entire area that are maybe in a different realm than we are, but we're all serving the front lines together.
That's right.
We all need help. We may have an army of 30 here, but my goodness, can you imagine what an army of 100 passionate radicals for the Father that are so willing to be broken for God and just to get up and move regardless of whatever. You know, just move by feeding and loving and seeking and you know, fellowshipping and being there. Being willing to be interrupted. Can you imagine? We really, really, really would have no statistics in our town.
We agree.
You know, and so, yeah, so it's like, yeah, just be willing, you know. Go out there and be in motion. Mm-hmm. Start somewhere. God always unveils it. You know, it's beautiful in church. We always say, well, we raise them up to send them out.
Yeah.
You know, and so, okay, well, then we got to get somewhere to be raised, right?
Right.
Right.
We got to be in church to be raised. We got to be in outreaches to be raised. And then God shows us, and then he sends us out.
Because is it not really God who sends us?
Right.
Not the leader of the local church?
I think I want to do this. I think I want to. It's like, oh, really? Well, if you surrender that, it's going to baffle your mind what he actually asks you to do.
Mm-hmm. like what you were saying about the picket fence.
Yeah.
You know, just what is so captivating about the farce?
You'll have to ask your neighbor, Mr. Jones. I don't know.
Yeah.
Keeping up with the Joneses, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, such a facade.
But like, what is so hard to like? No, it's not. That's an unfair statement to make. It is hard to lay down what we're comfortable in. It is hard to lay down.
I deal with it every day. I get it. I mean, yeah, we're constantly in a state of laying down, right?
Yes.
Every time I think that I laid it down, then God goes, really?
Yeah.
What about that? And I'm like, oh, man. Oh, man. I'm so nothing.
Yeah.
My Father I'm so, so, so humbled that you even love me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like we say, we want to change people's mind about God.
Amen.
The way and God I see that's them. What you're doing. You want them
Thank
to
you.
Understand.
I really
their,
pray and hope so.
Their view of God determines their view of people. And if God agrees with everything they say, hates everybody they hate, would only do what they would think that is right to be done, well, then you end up with what we have, not what we should be, not a reflection of our loving Father.
And that's huge.
I think that's the crux of what we do. And as we approach these people, and more of them
so
are,
needed,
they, you know, they, we keep knocking on that same door and going back because we need them to see that if they would change their mind about how God feels about the people that they don't want to serve,
right.
Then they will want to serve them. Because as we've said to many pastors, the person that you don't want, where you say, you know what, we just don't want them around here, just no, we can't deal with that, we don't get it, Satan stands right next to you right. with a huge smile and says, that's okay, I've got them. And that is literally what happens. And it's not a joke. It's as fast as your rejection in your next bulletin that somebody found blowing down the street that didn't go in the trash that talks about how you're going to, do whatever to restrict the homosexual agenda or whatever it is. No love, no peace, no understanding of the cross, no grace.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan's right there to say, don't worry about it. There's a whole world out there that I'm going to introduce you to.
Right.
Not knowing who that it's death.
Well,
spiritual and physical. How can we let that happen? You know, like we said, I wake up like you do and go, how? There's got to be one more today. Got to do something today. You know, so.
And people, I think, and this is my opinion, speculation, whatever. I haven't been around quite as long as you guys, and I haven't been to the depths.
That was another old badge, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think he's trying to tell me he's keeping me young again.
I said badge. That tells you how old I am. I meant jab.
Wear that hat.
In my life that I've seen the most, especially coming into grace.
Yeah.
Is that people don't care because they don't know how much God cares.
This is true.
Amen. That's
like,
right, Brandon.
It blows my mind. Every time I get a glimpse, even, of how much God really cares for me, in a moment of real clarity, it moves me.
Mm-hmm.
It moves me to want to pray for somebody. It moves me to be his hands and feet.
Mm-hmm.
In whatever that looks like. I'm doing gay ministry right now and ultimately full-on grace ministry to our community to let people know how much God loves them. I'm doing that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it looks like I'm going to do in the future, I don't care. As long as I get to do it because God has done it for me.
Mm-hmm.
People think that they have to please God. They think that they have to, you know, that God is some bully or, you know, just somebody who...
A cruel taskmaster.
Yeah, just a cruel taskmaster who wants nothing more than you to serve him because I'm God, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And...
Counting the bricks.
You know, and it feeds this mental state of never being good enough, especially in our Western civilization where you aren't good enough. You as a person in Western civilization are never good enough. It doesn't matter.
It's the earn theory, right? Yeah.
You earn every... I come from that background. You earn everything, and if you're not working, you're worthless.
Not working to please the one who sees you. The guy who's looking at you, the woman who's looking at you going, well, you don't match up with what I think. So therefore, you know, you don't have value.
And
that's not the way God sees us. you know, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. When he looks at us, he sees Christ over. That's the picture.
But people aren't taught the depths of that. People aren't taught what that means.
We see that enough.
They say, when God sees you, he sees Jesus. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Nobody cares to find out what that means because the examples aren't being lived. It's being lived by very few people. And then when they find out what that looks like.
The reason why he talks of the fragment, right?
The reason what?
There's a reason why God speaks of the fragment.
Mm-hmm. Right, the remnant.
Just the remnant.
The very few.
Doesn't have to be that way, though.
No.
And I want to see if somebody says to me, I don't think God will do that for me. I want to change that. We say change your mind about God, whatever, that kind of carries its own connotation with whoever hears it, but I want it to be clear. I want to change your mind about how God sees you.
That's right.
Because you won't care to do anything for him until you know what he sees you as, how he sees you, why he sees you that way.
That's right.
That is what moves people. That is what causes people to care. That is what is the burning. Mm. That is what moves his hands and feet.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Becca, this has been great. Anything else to add?
Oh, I could just sit here and talk with you guys and fellowship all day long. That's needed all the time, you know? We get lonely sometimes from the fellowship because we're you know, active with what we do. So it's nice to be able just to sit in a chair and be free to just rabbit trail about the Father and about what's passionate within our hearts and about what the reality is that we see and that about the reality that's here. Make no bones about it. It's here.
So how do people get a hold of you and what you're doing if they want to find out?
Pastor Sean and his wife Darla run the Wednesday Outreach Center piece. But like I said, you know, we're always here within
Full
Circle.
What's your address here?
Our address is 1055 Southwest Deschutes Avenue on the corner of 11th Street and Deschutes Avenue, downtown Redmond. But it's really good to email. I love to email.
Okay.
Comes directly to me. It's kind
and
of something
that
I love. It's BeccaProjectInterview@gmail.com. BECCA PROJECTINTERVIEW@gmail.com. And that's the one about the employment support, but it comes directly to me. Yeah, I get it. That's.
And does Full Circle have a website?
We do. It just isn't really much. Because, you know, I was just told that we had to have one, but there's really nothing on it.
Mm-hmm. And you guys take donations here all the time. You have a place to drop things.
We do.
You have a phone number?
We do. Our phone number is 541-548-5940. And if you want to go on the website, you're more than welcome to, but it's as simplistic, minimalistic as they come. And it's www.yourfullcircle.org.
Great.
Yep.
And we would love Wednesdays, to have help. People can come in and volunteer.
We have a volunteer training and all of that. So, yes, just come in and ask for an application and say that you heard about it through this broadcast. And Pastor Sean and Darla and the rest of our team, as well as myself and my husband, we will get that note. And we would love to direct you or to welcome you into even ours. So there's lots of ministries we could connect you with too.
That's great. And let's not forget about your food bank on Saturdays too.
So Church of God. Yep. That's on 4th Street and Birch every Saturday. It's our offsite food bank, but it's Church of God is the one who mans it now. And they are on the corner, like I said, Birch and 4th Street at 12:15 every Saturday. And it's a beautiful place to come because you get to choose your own food.
Nice.
Yeah, amen.
Can I have a steak?
What, babe? Yeah, you can get there at 11:30 and come just sit, be a part of the crew.
And we know Sean's there.
Yeah, Pastor Sean is there.
He's
yeah.
a great guy. Come and meet him.
Please.
Are there any more contact details?
We do have, if you're going to be doing this broadcast soon, the movie night is coming up. I would love to promote.
How often do you do stuff like that?
Yeah.
We do it as the Lord leads, which is pretty often mm-hmm. now. So now that we have, you know, more front runners. So that's August Saturday, the 9th, right? At 7 p.m. It's the movie that was just in the theaters, God Is Not Dead. Mm. It's being
I'm going to be there.
Great movie.
Yay.
It's a great movie.
I haven't seen it. We're going to have barbecue, too.
And what a great opportunity that to just have people here and hang out and...
Show up.
Show up mm-hmm. and be that light. That's the that's what we're talking about, that simple stuff. Just show up for something like that, not asking you
show
to come
up,
and run it. Just come and be a part of it, right?
Yeah, and God will, show up.
God will show up in your life.
For you. Yeah, he will give you an opportunity to serve somebody some way, some simple... little way that may change somebody's life, and it may not even require anything of you in a big scale. God,
yep. It should though.
Maybe right. Eventually, but you know, like we're saying,
it does burn slow.
You show up, mm-hmm.
like
and
I'm
God
46.
Will work.
I don't know how many years it took me before I got the big old knucklehead over my head. Wake up, hello, and mm-hmm. we still grow. So yeah, it is a journey. It is a journey. Just get active
mm-hmm. and have Amen. Some fun with it. Have some fun with God.
Amen.
He is. A lot of fun. And we say that all the time. This
is so
stuff
true.
Is fun.
Mm-hmm. This is a very deep conversation, but we laugh in the face of some of the ugliest trials.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Well, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world.
Amen.
Right. Let's get a hold
of
that.
So the battle is already won. Let's live it today.
We say,
in victory.
I choose to be an eternal optimist because the Lord has already won.
Amen.
It's
I
a
like
choice
that.
And it's eternal. And he won.
And it's done.
Amen.
Nice.
I like that. All right. Well, thank you for listening to Free Indeed Radio. Thank you, Becca, for mm-hmm. letting us interview you and come be in this wonderful little building to record this podcast.
Thank you.
And we look forward to hearing from you all as soon as you hear this, if you want to contact John or I, you know.
Show him some love.
Yeah, show Becca some love, too. All right. So, as always, go out and change somebody's mind about God.
Thank you for listening to Free Indeed Radio. Send us your prayer requests, comments, and suggestions to freeindeedco@gmail.com. We would love to hear how the Lord has touched your life and rejoice with you. Don't forget to sign up to follow us by email on the website and get our app from the Google Play Store. Free Indeed is listener-supported, and we invite you to come check out how you can support us through our website at www.freeindeedco.com. Free Indeed Ministries believes that your tithes belong to your local church, and we receive your donations as offerings to support the mission of Free Indeed to advance the gospel of grace throughout the world. The Lord bless you as you go into your world and change someone else's mind about God.
talk.
Okay. Well, I'm still a wee one, so like.
Oh wow.
My balls are still dropping, and
no, you don't get to get so no. Like, yeah.
I do that with
no, don't too. Give him that. Don't don't buy into it. Because he'll take
did
it.
Did you just hear no. that?
Okay.
So how no, old are we? That
That's a wee one.
A wee little one. We can do the whole broadcast not. In that accent.
No, that's okay.
A little John will have to pass. We
could do Free Indeed Freak Show.
Hello, welcome back to Free Indeed Radio.
Talk about fetishes today.
My
language fetish. John will have to pass.
It just gets me hopping.
That's right.
It's just wonderful.
Jolly good time
talking
there.
About fetishes today. Mine's a language fetish.
Oh my. Okay.
And I will tell you where I can find the girls, okay?
The little girls.
Now, oh, can I get you a Slurpee, Becca, before we start, perhaps?
That's just oh racist.
Cherry?
That's just
Oh, that's
so awesome.
Get in, mutton berry slippery now.
Thank you. Come again.
Yeah, there's always that too.
It's really fun.
So yes.
When like just go the whole day. If one specific person, just one specific person, you pick them and like have everybody in your group do this. Whenever they ask you for something, respond like with the answer, and then would you like fries with that? It's like the worst thing you could possibly do to another human being, but it's so great.
I love it.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Don't let him do it at a drive-up, because it's so embarrassing.
Oh, I did a Christopher Walken impersonation one time.
Yeah.
I was like, did you ever see Mouse Hunt? How about...
He's a really popular actor.
He's literally been in James more movies Bond than any other really actor. You would see his face. You would recognize him instantly. But he's totally crazy.
Yeah.
And he's the guy who's like, hello.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You guys.
Yeah.
And so I was
he
like,
did that.
Hello, can I yeah. get a number 5 combo?
Oh, yeah,
this
yeah,
is at Arby's already. With yeah. me in the car. Yeah.
And extra curly fries, please.
And it's... tell her what you did at the window.
And I was like, how'd you like my dad's Christopher Walken
yeah.
impersonation?
He's...
And she was like,
I'm like, oh, wow.
Bends down to look, get a look at his face, and he's just like, I hate you so much. I hate you so much.
Like, we could not leave that drive-in fast enough. And I like doing stuff like that to people, but he got me good.
Mm-hmm. It was
like
pretty great.
Oh.
That's been so awesome.
That keeps us young.
All right.
Right.
Don't tell him.
See, I keep you young.
Oh,
that's right.
God. See?
Yes.
See?
Just me.
Well, yeah, you're
right.
It.
Never trust people, say trust me. You're right.
Right. You
right.
are it.
Keep him young.
My youth.
Uh-oh.
All right.
I need it, though.
Well.
It's all right. Anyway, so you can get back to
never
that.
Yeah.
People say trust me.
Right. Just, no, don't get serious.
Are we
that's
ready?
Lame.
Yeah, let's get serious now, right? How do you do that? You had to shift.